Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, "I'm sure you know why we're here." I was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here, and with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix, then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Teleforce Productions and iHeartRadio presents Wheel Woman, Confessions of a Getaway Driver.
Hi, I'm Lars Jacobson, a writer who was fortunate enough to stumble upon George's incredible story. And like everyone else who hears it, I was immediately hooked. A model turned getaway driver for the mob turned first female stunt driver in Hollywood, it was almost too incredible to believe. But then I met Georgia herself and realized, as incredible as her story was, she was even more impressive. It was a case of truth being more amazing than fiction, and I knew I had to help share her story with the world. So today we're joined with the real Georgia and her daughter Toni to reflect on the events of her past and catch us up on what they've been doing now. Hi, Georgia. Thanks so much for being here. I suppose the first question I'd like to ask is, now that so much time has passed, how do you look back at your experience working for the mafia?
Well, you know, I really don't have any regrets. I think what I've learned from that experience has helped me all through my life. I can pick a con person, from a mile away. It's helped me in business. You know, it's I look back at it and it almost doesn't seem real that all of that happened, but I had street smarts, and you can't buy that, and you can't learn that in school, and that is what's taking me through where I am today.
Well, the mafia was traditionally a really misogynistic and male-dominated world, and it was a world that you kind of treaded on both sides of the fence. You know, you were married to the mob, but you also worked with the mob, and you were treated like a possession by your husband and abused, but you were also respected and treated almost like an equal, you know, with other mafia members. So at that time, how did you feel like women in the mafia were treated, and how did you navigate that world?
Well, back then, and maybe it's still pretty much true today, but women were always barefoot, pregnant in the kitchen. That's the way the Italians, the mob guys, that's the way they treated their girlfriends, their wives. I don't really know what it was that drew them to, I don't, maybe it was my personality, my gutsiness, I don't know, but I was treated differently until I got married, and then I became the possession. You know, so I saw the other side of it as well.
Do you feel like there were advantages to being a woman and working for the mob at the time?
I was the perfect person for them to use. I mean, I was appearing on covers of magazines. I looked like the girl next door, American apple pie. You know, who was going to suspect me? So that's why I was perfect for them. But as they saw what my talents were, that I could drive, they took advantage of that.
From the mafia world, you then transitioned to the world of the automobile and the stunt world, both of which were also traditionally heavily male-dominated. Do you feel like your experience with the mafia prepared you for that?
Yes, I do. You know, it was a tough business to break into. And again, it was, you know, you look at me and you don't see that tough interior. They only saw the exterior. But as my drivers got to know me, they really respected what I was trying to do for them, and they handed over the reins. And then I was younger than most of them, but they all called me mom.
Interesting. So there was this sense of respect and
yes,
responsibility that they kind of placed upon you.
Yes.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So, I was tough on him, though. I was very tough on him, but...
So you feel like you were pretty consistently underestimated, but then once you proved yourself, the men in your environment eventually realized that you could be trusted and given heavy responsibility.
Yep.
Would they challenge you in those roles, or were...
Not my drivers. Some of the directors did, and I pulled some things that should never happen on the set. I had one director that was just such a chauvinist pig, and he was like picking on me. And then one day, I got through the shot, and I got on the radio, and there's 40 people listening to what I'm saying, and I called him an asshole. And there was this dead silence. Finally, the AD got on the radio and said, "Georgia, have you had your coffee this morning?"
Did that set him straight?
He didn't pick on me for the rest of the shoot.
At that time, really, the misogyny was a fact of life.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you take it in stride? Was there a sense of normalcy?
It was just something that was normal. You know, that's the way the world was. And you didn't really think about it much, but I would seethe inside sometimes. And I would, I'd get my point across. At some point, I would do that.
Well, Sammy was obviously a big focus of our series, and he was a very important person in your life. He kind of put you on your path in many ways. So is there anything you really like to add about Sammy, about your experience now in retrospect, looking back at the role he played?
Sammy always made me feel safe and protected, and he really only let me see the good part of that world, and I was really kind of shielded to the dark side until I was raped. That's when I saw how evil and how scary that world could be. But again, it was for my benefit, you know? Just like the first time when he brought those two guys outside and beat the hell out of them. I was shocked at the blood, I was shocked at the violence, and yet he was doing it for my honor. So there was two sides to that, you know?
Do you feel like Sammy shielding you from the violence and the danger of that world was seductive and helped influence you in getting involved?
I always, since I was a little kid, I hopped that freight train and ran away from home, you know? I was always drawn to the danger and the excitement. So yeah, I guess that maybe had something to do with it.
But you feel if it wasn't for Sammy, you would have found your way to danger one way or another. If it wasn't the mafia world, it would have been somewhere else?
Absolutely. I would have followed a posse in any direction as long as there was danger and excitement.
Is there anything you'd like to add about Sammy for the audience that they might not understand about him from hearing the podcast or reading the articles about his life?
I think reading my book, you see a whole different side of the mob than what TV portrays or what people think. You see the good side. Sammy would pay for somebody's rent or turn on their electricity or bring food over to their house. And then you saw the cops doing bad things. And I really, at that time in my life, I had a really distorted view of who the good guys and bad guys were.
Right, because within the community, they felt like the support system was there within the organized crime, and they were being victimized more by the police. But the organized crime was actually looking out for each other more.
And the police were being bought off, you know? So, you know, they were protecting the mob.
Just following up on that question, there's a lot of rumors and articles written that the police might have been involved or at least complicit in Sammy's murder. You know, looking back on it, knowing what you know now and with so much time being removed, you know, what are your thoughts on his death? Who do you think was really responsible?
You know, that's still an ongoing question. Nobody knows if the police were told to stand back. You know, we all kind of knew who killed Sammy, but he was never prosecuted, so I can't sit here and say it was him, you know? So I call him Serpentino.
Okay. So there was, within the community, there was knowledge and pretty much everyone agreed who was responsible, but no one was talking and no one was going to hold him responsible according to the law.
Correct.
So the man you call Serpentino, was he ever served justice, either by the law or by the street?
Not for Sammy's murder, but he did end up in prison for 20 years in a different charge. And when I did my first book signing, we opened it in Rochester, where all this stuff had happened. Nobody knew it was in the book, and everybody was scared. And I did a radio show the day before, and somebody called into the station, but they wouldn't put him through. So he said, "You tell Georgia Durrani she better have protection because she's going to need it." So they told me this. So I called the police because I had the two book signings the next day and asked them, you know, if they would show their presence. And I said, "This is Georgia Durrani." And the cop said, "Yeah, we know who you are." I said, "I'm not going to get any help here, right?" But they did. They, you know, if anything happened, they had to, you know, show their presence. So anyway, at the end of the signing, I was cleaning up the area. People had brought me flowers, and all of a sudden there's this face right in my face. And he says, "Where do you get my brother was shot in the back?" He was shot in the face. And I had to pull back and see who he was. And I said, "I think it was documented that he was shot in the back." He said, "Well, he was my brother. I don't know." And then the police saw him, and the car pulled up. So he started to turn away and walk away, and he turned back to me. He says, "Your friend? Sorry he had to die." And he walked out.
Wow. That's amazing. And that was the last time you ever saw or heard from him?
Yep.
Incredible. Oftentimes, you refer to a side of your personality as Georgia Black. What's your relationship with her now?
I haven't really seen her in a while. But she was not a bad person. She was there to, you know, step in when Georgia White couldn't handle something. You know, Georgia White was that sweet, innocent side, and Georgia Black just took charge. And she was there for me many, many times, but she really hasn't had to be in my life lately. My life is much different today. The only time is when somebody is threatening my kids. Then you will see Georgia Black.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Stacy thought she had the perfect husband. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover for Justin Rutherford to hide behind.
They led me into the house, and I mean, it was like a movie. He was sitting at our kitchen table. The cops were guarding him.
Stacy learned how far her husband would go to save himself.
I slept with a loaded gun next to my bed.
He did not just say, I wish he was dead. He actually gave details and explained different scenarios on how to kill him.
He, to me, is scarier than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes. Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.
Can you tell us how your family life has evolved?
Well, my son, who was, his name is Dustin, he got into drugs there for a little while, and he ended up getting a gal pregnant. And since both of them were on drugs at the time, the baby ended up in a foster home. And I got her out. I adopted her. Her name is Angela. She's 15 now. And, you know, I really thought I was saving her, but it turned out she was saving me.
Do you feel like your experience raising Angela was, in a way, an opportunity to make up for some of the mistakes you made with Tony in the past?
Absolutely. I thought, well, I got a chance to do it right this time. But, you know, Tony had, she had resented me, I think, for, well, I know. But it really wasn't until my book came out and she would read the pages and she would cry through each page and says, Mom, I thought this is what was going on. And then I realized she was seeing it through a child's eyes. We had never talked about it, you know. She didn't really understand what was really going on and why I made the choices that I did. And until my book had come out, gosh, we got so close after that, because then she saw it for what it was, you know, and her resentments went away.
Oh, that's fantastic. Can you talk a little bit about your experience working with abused women in the military?
Well, you know, I didn't know this was going to happen. I mean, in my book, I talk about how my husband put one bullet in the chamber and gave it a whirl and actually clicked it off twice. And he hung me out of a building, a two-story building by my ankles because I wanted to leave. And when I wrote the book, I started to understand how it all happened, because you never look at it. When you're in it, you never see it for what it is. So when I was writing my book, and women who were reading it, they were seeing themselves on the pages, and they were seeing how it happens and why it happens. And I was getting emails from, I mean, it was blowing up my computer, and I was answering everybody, and I got scared because I'm not a doctor, you know? I mean, I can only share my experience, and I was hoping that anything that I said to them may not work in their situation, but it put me on a whole different path, and I started speaking in abused women shelters, and I started speaking in prisons, and I found I was helping so many people, and I had no idea when I was writing this book all this was going to happen.
You also told me a story about how you were surprised in being inducted into the Women's Hall of Fame. I was hoping you could share that with the audience.
Oh, yeah. Well, a good friend of mine is Jimmy Hawkins. He played the little boy in It's a Wonderful Life. And we went to, it was near Rochester, we went to Seneca Falls because they do a big thing there every year for It's a Wonderful Life. And that is also where the Women's Hall of Fame is. So we walk in there, and I did not realize that this was going to happen, but they inducted me into the Women's Hall of Fame.
So total surprise. You thought you were just coming there for a visit.
I was shocked. I was really shocked, but that was a real honor.
Obviously, your life was filled with amazing adventures, many of which we cover. I was just wondering, are there any adventures that you'd like to tell us about that have happened to you since your stunt driving career?
Well, I think the highlight, really, of my life was after I had done that speech at the Cannon Air Force Base. The commander was so impressed that he nominated me for, Joint Civilian Orientation Conference. And there's like 400 people being nominated. They choose 40. It was all very secretive. I mean, the Iraq War was, you know, real heavy at the time. And we weren't told where we were going. And we had to start out at the Pentagon. And, you know, we went all through the war room. And we were shown things that no civilians ever see. And man, I'll tell you, I've never been so impressed with our military. I mean, I saw every aspect of it. We did we went to the Air Force Base in England, and they did all the planes that were actually like fighting in the air, and it was incredible. You know, it's like, how in the world did I get from being a getaway driver for the mob to something like this? Then I come back and had breakfast with the president. It was like unbelievable, unbelievable. And I have to say, of all the things that I've done in my life, that was the highlight.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Stacy thought she had the perfect husband. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover for Justin Rutherford to hide behind.
They led me into the house, and I mean, it was like a movie. He was sitting at our kitchen table. The cops were guarding him.
Stacy learned how far her husband would go to save himself.
I slept with a loaded gun next to my bed.
He did not just say, I wish he was dead. He actually gave details and explained different scenarios on how to kill him.
He, to me, is scarier than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage, for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes. Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.
Now we're joined by Tony. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Tony, so back then, obviously, you were a small child through a lot of these experiences. What do you remember of those times, you know, living in New York, moving to Los Angeles?
Well, I think before we came to California, my most vivid memories are with my grandparents. And those are just like the biggest memories that I have is just spending time with them and then kind of wondering where was mom, you know, during this whole thing. They told me that she was off on, on location for modeling or this or that. And, you know, that was kind of normal, you know, it was normal. But I also had that kind of absentee mom type thing. Like, where is she? It wasn't until many years later that I figured out or that I was told what was really going on.
So once you learned the truth and that your mother had been working for the mafia, obviously she had tried to protect you from those facts up until then. You know, looking back at those times, do you realize, you know, do you see things differently?
Were there absolutely. Yeah. I was, you know, obviously a young child. So, you know, I didn't really know. From my perspective, it was... I know once we got out to California and I didn't realize that we were running from the mob, running from the CIA, running from the crazy ex-husband. I just thought...
And the stalker.
Oh, don't forget him. Yeah, and the stalker. But I was oblivious to all this. I was 7 years old, you know. I just thought that we moved a lot. I think we moved, I don't know how, 12 times in a year or something like that.
Seven times in 1 year.
Okay, yeah. Like one time it was from one block, side of the block to the other. I mean, you know, and I had no idea why. But later to find out, we were just trying to be incognito.
When was the first time you found out that your mom had worked for the mafia?
Years later until she started writing her book.
So she never confessed to you before then? It was really with the book that you found out with everyone else?
Absolutely. I found out a lot of things after reading that book.
Did it improve your relationship? Were the things more understandable then?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, it made the pieces come together.
More specifically, do you remember significant figures from your mother's life back then? Do you have any specific memories of Sammy or Frankie?
Sammy, no. I was too young. I wasn't really aware of him. He was probably in my life, you know, but I didn't know him. Frankie, on the other hand, I knew that they had a relationship and he was a really funny guy and I really liked him. And anyway, so yeah, now Frankie's been in my life, you know, as an adult.
Yeah, Frankie, with all the things that he was involved with, ended up getting hit by a motorcycle and died in the middle of the night from a brain aneurysm or whatever. Yeah.
And when was this?
This was only about, 7 years ago.
Yeah. Very sad.
Yeah, can you speak a little bit about your relationship with Tom, your father?
Sure. So I really don't have any memories of him when I was a baby, but he started coming in my life when she was beginning to make her journey to California. So what happened was I ended up staying with him and his new wife, who had two kids from a previous marriage. And I went to school with them and I felt like a visitor in the house. It was very awkward, you know, but I stayed there for a few months while she got situated in California.
So after you moved to Los Angeles, do you remember when your mother started stunt driving?
You know, I know she was in front of the camera all the time. And I didn't realize that the reason why she was going to do that was so that she could be, you know, have a livelihood, but not be seen, right? So she's behind the camera and she's stunt doubling and all this stuff. So I, you know, when she started getting involved with that, how old was I? Maybe 10, 11?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I think you got your first inclination when I used to carpool the kids. And my day was Tuesday.
Oh,
and all
good
the
Lord.
Kids couldn't wait for Tuesday because I take them to school and do 180s and 360s.
Oh, yeah. My mom was the cool one. And yeah, I all my buddies, she would take us out to parties and stuff and she'd be hanging out the window.
Definitely had a very colorful past. That's incredible. Can you tell us a little bit about your life now, your family, where you're living?
Yeah, I'm living in Simi Valley right now with my family. I'm married to a wonderful man. We've been married 17 years. It's just amazing. It's amazing to be a mom and to, you know, just, you know, I kind of look at it. I really do. I draw on experiences from my mother and like, I'm definitely turning into her or my grandmother. That's for sure. Just the experience of, I don't know, that warmth, the warmth and that affection and the love that I have for my kids that just was instilled by her to me and my grandparents, because we were just a very affectionate family. You know, I love you and hugs and kisses and very touchy-feely, you know? And I'm going to carry that on with my kids. I mean, I don't care if they're 40 years old. They're getting hugs. So that's just, I'm really in a good place, beautiful family. And, you know, I'm ready to be a grandma. Because I feel like I'm like, okay, now what? But yeah, so I'm just enjoying life and looking forward to the future.
Thank you both so much for joining us. Are there any last, you know, comments, mentions, anything about your relationship that you'd like to add?
Well, I mean, my relationship with my mom is the strongest it's ever been. And we're like buddies, you know, and I admire her strength and from, you know, it was like she was in an emotional blackmail situation.
Yeah.
And how she dealt with it and how she came through the other side has given me strength also to, you know, persevere through life's challenges.
Wow, that's great.
I always leave this with so many people that email me asking for help. And I believe that when you start believing in yourself, you can do anything. That's it.
Well, thank you so much for both joining us. It was an amazing experience, an amazing story about an amazing woman. And yep, we look forward to everyone enjoying it.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wheel Woman is written by Lars Jacobson and Sabrina Jaglom and directed by Sabrina Jaglom. Produced by Lars Jacobson and Sabrina Jaglom. Executive produced by Georgia Durante and Noel Brown for iHeartRadio. This episode features Georgia Durante and Tony Mugavero with the interview conducted by Lars Jacobson. Edited by Chris Childs with sound design and theme music by Chris Childs. Adapted from the book The Company She Keeps by Georgia Durante. Wheel Woman: Confessions of a Getaway Driver is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, "I'm sure you know why we're here." I was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior.
Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.